then also, like, it's easy for someone to be like, oh, y'all must be doing something right. Like, Peter's like, I'll die for you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, like, you get a few hours and, like, you know, it's really easy to be like, oh, yeah, I want to go to the church that's being protested and, like, you know. Like, it'd be easy for me, like, yeah, like, you know, like, first verse I'm blown up, we'll be blown up. And then, like, as soon as it happened, I'd be like, oh, crap, this got real, you know.
This got blown up.
Yeah, and, like, I would like to say that I would be like,
I know.
You know, but, like,
exactly. Like, well, that's what's nice about the fact that our church has gone through a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now, like, hopefully the people here, and it got worse, which I think it will.
Yeah.
Hopefully a lot will stay.
Yeah. I'll definitely say seeing Barony and First Words going through all the stuff that they've gone through, like, it makes getting a rock run here through your window and, like, four cases is, like,
yeah,
it's nothing. Whatever, you know.
Good morning. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could find your seats and grab your songbook, turn your hymnals to song 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Song 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns. 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown Him with Many Crowns. On the second, crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, which wounds yet visible of heaven, deep glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wandering eye at his throne. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for all the people here that want to serve you. Pray that you bless every aspect of this service, that you fill us all with your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for our next song, we'll go to song 180, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful? 180, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful? Song 180.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a simple soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest or the way, saving, keeping, loving us that found me. That is why my heart can truly sing. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you did not already get a bulletin, please slip your hand nice up and high and we'll get you a bulletin. We have the last verse of Psalms 148. It's a little bit harder verse there, kids, so you better start practicing now if you want to get ice cream on Wednesday. And also, if you can quote the entire passage, you'll get a special prize at the end of that. You do have to quote it to a non-family member, okay? So no collusion, all right? On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times. Also, we have our church stats. On the right, we have our list of expecting ladies. I continue to pray for all of them, several ladies there. Also, continue to just pray for our other prayer requests. Please submit those via steadfastbaptistkjv@gmail.com. Unless it's pretty much just an obvious ongoing prayer request, please make sure to just continually send that in on a weekly basis. That way we can update our prayer request list and keep this fresh. On the back, we have a note. So I apologize. We were supposed to have picture day today for some of the people that signed up, and I tried to send out a message on Facebook, so a lot of you might have noticed, but today we didn't get all of our material in time, and I just want to make sure for consistency of the photos that we just push it back one more week. And so we should have everything ready to go this upcoming Sunday. So if you had already signed up for pictures today, please make sure to just re-sign up. So there's a sheet over here. Just sign up, and it's not going to really affect anything other than you got to wear the same clothes twice, I guess, all right? But it has dates down there, and we're really excited about this. We're also doing the baby pictures, so make sure to indicate that you have a baby just so we can prepare correctly. But I'm really excited. I think they're going to look really nice, and it'll be a nice way to get a free family picture, right? So there you go. Down below, we have the baby shower announcement in honor of Miss Megan Wood and her baby girl. She's registered at Bye Bye Baby. It's December 18th. It's from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. And if you would like to bring a dish, you're always welcome to please bring one. It's a potluck. It is nursing's only preferred, but we never want to turn anyone away for any reason. So if you have to bring the kiddos, please do. And, you know, sometimes baby showers, especially since our church growing, you may not know everybody or feel like you know them, but it's still great just to participate so that you can get to know ladies better and form some friendships. And so everybody's always invited, and we like to encourage all the ladies to participate just so you get to know people better. You don't even have to bring a gift, but obviously if you do, they are registered. Down below, we also have other upcoming events. November 13th, coming up soon, our Oklahoma City Soul Winning Marathon, and there's a sign-up sheet for that. There is also a Thanksgiving Dessert Fellowship. It's going to be November 24th, and so it's just going to be a potluck. So just everybody bring whatever they would like, pie, you know, cake, cookies, whatever it is that you want to participate with, and you can bring that. Also, December 9th through the 11th is our Brownsville Matamoras Soul Winning Marathon. We have a sign up for that. We have Christmas Caroling this year, December 14th at 5:30 p.m. And we're going to try and get organized right at 5:30 and then head out. And we'll go out for about an hour. And then we'll come back at the building around 7, and we're just going to have a pizza fellowship. So I believe it's a Tuesday, if I'm correct. It's like a Tuesday. So put that in your calendar. Also, December 18th, we have that baby shower. December 24th, we have a candlelight service and a cookie bake-off, all right? So we'll have a couple different categories here, best tasting, best decorated, and everything like that. So if you, you can put beans in your cookie, I guess. I mean, there's no such thing as a Texas cookie, I don't think, or whatever. But I don't know if you'll win, okay? So obviously you can do things to be fun, but you may not win. Although it'll probably be like a mob rule voting, so who knows? Dominion will probably pick the winner. December 31st, we also have a New Year's Eve party at 7. So we have a lot of events. We also ordered some new invites that we're going to be mailing out and having for soul winning. Hopefully they'll get here in about a week or so. But it's going to have all of our kind of bigger events as far as dessert fellowships and caroling and stuff like that. So you can hand it out to family members and friends about some of our holiday services and just use them as we go out soul winning liberally. We ordered like 5,000 of them, so we'll have a lot just to hand out, and you can include that with your soul winning. So that's pretty much all I had for announcements. Let's go ahead and go to our third song of the morning.
All right, our next song will be 192, Ring the Bells of Heaven. 192, Ring the Bells of Heaven. Song 192.
Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meets him out upon the way, welcoming his weary wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransomed army, like a mighty sea, healing your
As the offering plates are being passed around, please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Chapter 22, the Bible reads,
Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house, and it shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brother's, which he hath lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed, which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. If any man take a wife, and go in unto her, and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate, and the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put evil away from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out under the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die, the damsel because she cried not, being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die, but unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in the damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor. Please fill him with your spirit and allow us to pay attention and be edified. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're here in Deuteronomy 22, and the Bible says in verse number 11, let's read this again, thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Now, this is a verse that's often mocked or ridiculed by the atheists, by people that hate the Word of God, by people that despise God's law. And the modern versions always, you know, ruin this verse, they twist it, and They change the whole meaning. They say, don't wear mixed fabric or something like that, or some variation or formation. But, you know, the Bible has very specific language here, and it's really important to understand what this verse is saying, and then we can draw from this verse a lot of good doctrine. But essentially, the Bible is describing two completely different types of garments here and saying that you're not supposed to wear them at the same time. They're not supposed to basically be mixed together in the same garment. And I believe it's for a lot of reasons. It's not just for one reason, okay? It's for a carnal reason, it's for just logic, and it's for spiritual pictures as well, because this is a spiritual book. And God often communicates carnal, real, physical truths with spiritual truths at the same time, because it helps us understand these things. You know, Jesus constantly refers to himself as the bread of life, or, you know, drinking from a living fountain. You know, he describes himself as bread, or he describes himself as water, he describes himself as a door, he describes himself as a shepherd, he describes us as sheep. These are just physical realities that we see that help us better understand the truths of God's word. And when we look at this verse, what we have to first understand is that these two garments are often mentioned in other places in Scripture. And I'm just going to explain this without going to all these places quickly. But essentially, a garment that is woolen would be that coming from an animal skin. You know, this would be coming from a sheep, most specifically, or it could be potentially another type of similar animal. And a linen garment would be that coming from a plant-based, garment. It's basically coming from thatch or something, you know, hemp or something like that, where they're basically making cotton. It could be a lot of different fabrics that are made. But the Bible's just saying you don't want to mix an animal hide with cotton, or you don't want to mix, you know, cotton with these things. Now, I don't believe today that hardly any clothes would probably even violate this principle, just because it's a common sense principle. You know, when you start mixing these type of fabrics, the garment's just a weaker fabric. It doesn't go well together. It doesn't necessarily hold tight. And so it'd be difficult to even have a garment like this. Some people will point to like a polyester blend or whatever. That's probably just really just a linen type garment. Because, you know, I don't remember the last time I extracted polyester from an animal. You know, I don't think that that's coming from any kind of a sheep or a goat, you know. It's really a completely different type of garment. It'd really be coming from natural products, things coming from the earth, you know, extracted minerals or resources, along with other plant-based, garment material. So therefore, I would say it's based in the same category. God's saying here, you just shouldn't wear it. Now, why would he make such a big deal about this? You know, like you think, like, why does God care so much about clothing? But here's the thing, God cares a lot about clothing, okay? But the other reason why this is so important is because it pictures salvation in the sense that the woolen pictures the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, just like in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are kicked out, and they have two sons, and they have Cain and Abel, and Abel offers a sacrifice that's of the sheep, and then Cain offers a sacrifice of the fruits of the ground, picturing two different types of salvation again, where you basically have the animal picturing the sacrifice and faith, and you have the plant-based, which is kind of like a works-based salvation. And there's nothing wrong with works. There's nothing wrong with faith. You just don't want to mix them for salvation because you end up ruining salvation. You want to keep them separate. So when we understand this passage, there's nothing wrong with a woolen-based garment. There's nothing wrong with a linen-based garment. The problem is a linen and woolen-based garment is mixing the two or doing, you know, kind of putting two things together that shouldn't go together. And that's a principle that we learn here in the Bible, is that you don't want to mix things together that are not supposed to be mixed together. Now, keep your finger here. Go to Proverbs 27 for a moment. Go to Proverbs chapter number 27. And my sermon this morning, I'm going to talk a lot about clothing, okay? And some people get really, upset about this, or they get nervous about this. But let me just make a few things clear. First of all, I didn't write this sermon thinking about what you're going to wear this Sunday morning. I just noticed now, okay? All right? That's point number one, all right? Point number two is I don't really, on a personal level, care at all. But I am going to preach what the Bible says on these subjects. And you know what? The Bible has a lot to say on clothing. And really, when we dress, we should think more about what God thinks about how we dress than what people think or what I personally think. You know, a lot of people don't get dressed thinking about the Bible at all. They don't think about God at all. But the Bible talks a lot about clothing, and it gives us some specific commandments about it. And I want to show you a verse that's kind of interesting. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 26. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. So notice the Bible's saying a positive thing here about a woolen garment, saying the lambs are for thy clothing. So, you know, one of the specific reasons that God gave us lambs are to clothe us. And one of the most important aspects of this picture would be that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and he clothes us with his righteousness. Therefore, we can stand before God the Father, righteous in his sight. Without that, we would be naked before his sight, open and exposed with our sins, and we would deserve hell for our sins. That's why we need that type of clothing. That's why the whole Bible starts out with two people that are naked in the Garden of Eden. And then essentially, whenever they sin, what happens? They try to cover their sin, they cover their nakedness with a plant-based apron-type garment, and God has to sacrifice some kind of an animal and clothe them with animal skins to picture salvation. So you know what? Who invented clothing? God. So if God invented clothing, okay, if God gave us clothing, if God's telling us about clothing, don't you think we should allow him to tell us then how we should dress or what kind of clothes we should wear or what we should look like whenever we put on clothes? I would think that God has the ultimate opinion here. He didn't just say, you know what, just do whatever you want. He gave us a Bible for a reason, okay? So go back to Deuteronomy 22. Go back to Deuteronomy 22. He gave us a Bible on purpose. I believe all of it. I don't sugarcoat the Bible, if you've ever met me before, okay? You know, and the Bible is much harsher than I feel like I could ever be, okay? Most of the time, people get really mad at what I'm saying, but I'm thinking, like, the Bible words it even more harshly. It's just you're not intelligent enough to realize what the Bible's actually saying, okay? So if you just pay attention, you slow down to what the Bible is saying, it gives us a lot of commandments, specifically even to clothing. Now, in the same chapter, as it already told us about the garment that's woolen and linen, it has another commandment. Look at verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, this is a verse that no one likes in the United States anymore. It used to be genuinely accepted. I mean, everybody liked this verse. Everybody accepted this verse. In fact, many laws of our country were based on this verse specifically. I'm not joking, and I'm going to give you some examples here this morning. What I'm telling you is I still believe this verse. It doesn't matter what Hollywood does. It doesn't matter what a Supreme Court judge rules. It doesn't matter what some trickery down at the mayor's office happens. I still believe this verse, and I still think it's very important in 2021 America. In fact, it's more important this year than it was last year. And it's way more important than it was 20 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 100 years ago, because our gender-bending society today is pushing every limit today. And, you know, whenever they can topple over these verses, the sky's the limit for the people that want to violate God's word and they despise God's word. And what I've noticed is this. When you need this verse more than ever, Baptists are not preaching this. It's like they're so afraid. I mean, most churches today, most Baptists today would not touch this verse with a 10-foot pole. And let me tell you why. Because there's people in the room that would feel bad about this verse. Because people feel guilty about what you preach from the Bible. And they don't want to lose people. They don't want to upset people. And let me tell you something. It's not my goal to make anybody upset this morning. It's not. I don't think, like, what could be the most offensive sermon I could preach on Sunday morning, you know? Now, sometimes I think about that. Because I this is what I think. I think I don't want to just have only the offensive sermons be like Sunday night or Wednesday or just Sunday morning. So I try to mix it around. I just try to think, like, okay, what was the more harsh sermon last week? And then I mix it, you know, for which night or which day or whatever. Because I just want to be balanced. You know, I don't want to basically only preach the nice stuff Sunday morning. And you think, like, Pastor Shelley's a really nice guy. And then you come Sunday night and you're like, whoa, you know. I'd rather preach the hard stuff in the morning and then the nice stuff at evening, typically, okay? So that's my personal philosophy. But let's just be specific about this verse, okay? What does this mean? Well, you know, it's really easy. Because if you get up and you go use the bathroom, it'll tell you what this verse means. And you say, what do you mean? There's a picture on the bathroom, right by the bathroom. It has a dude and it has a girl. And you say, how do you know which one? Because one's wearing a dress and one's wearing pants.
I didn't even make the sign. I just ordered it. And you know what? They didn't give me another option. There wasn't like another option for which one to pick or which one to decide. It was just like, you got a dude with basically, you know, pants on, and you got a girl with a dress on. Okay? Now, I didn't make that up. I didn't draw the picture. And if you get mad at me, then guess what? You're going to be mad at every picture at every bathroom in this entire city. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're going to the most LGBTQ-friendly store, Starbucks, okay? I don't care if you're going to Starbucks, if you go to Target, if you go to Gap. What other kind of, you guys know. What are the other stores that you go to? I mean, they're going to have the same sign. I didn't make that up. Now, people get mad at me when I preach this, but I'm telling you what, it's true. As the day is long, the Bible makes it clear. Even in this own chapter, again, we're not even going to leave the chapter still. Look at the last verse of this chapter, okay? A man shall not take his father's wife. Notice this, nor discover his father's skirt. Now, this is the atheist would be like, a guy has a skirt. No, you don't understand. The euphemism for a husband's wife or a guy's wife is a skirt. Why? Because a skirt is synonymous with a lady. It's synonymous with a woman. And just as horrified as you would be me wearing a skirt this morning, we should be from the opposite, typically, honestly. Now, our society has been so desensitized and so brainwashed that women wearing pants is nothing today. And in fact, I mean, I don't really even notice because I grew up the same way, okay? Obviously, if someone sat me down or has asked me questions about it, I could pick it up. But you know, I don't really think about it. I don't really care. You know how many people I've confronted on this? Zero in my life. Now, I have preached the Bible, okay? And I have said what the Bible has to say here. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not mad at people that do this, but the Bible says that God is. I mean, what did it say in verse number 5? For all that do so are abomination of the Lord thy God. That's strong. I don't even want to get that strong. Just because, like, I don't feel, like, inside, I can't even get that mad. But let me tell you something. The Bible says this, that some men's sins are open beforehand. Every single person in this room, virtually, we could probably point to something in their life like that that they're sinful on, okay? So it's really hypocritical for people to start getting mad about these type of things. Because, you know, I don't know, things like being effeminate, having the wrong haircut, being overweight, being a glutton. A lot of these sins are real obvious and open. If we just start narking people for who are in sin, I mean, we could just start knocking everybody on the list. And people get mad at coming into church where they have to hear about their sin or hear they did something wrong or whatever. You know what? That was the whole point. I wasn't going to come up here and tell you how you're doing great. I'm going to help you fix these areas of your life. Now, please listen to the whole sermon, because by the end of the sermon, I hope you'll realize why these commandments are even in the Bible, okay, and where this stuff is even coming from. But here's the title of my sermon this morning, Trans and Tempting Threads. All right, trans and tempting threads. Now, threads is another slang term for clothes, okay, for just, you know, these are threads, right? You got some sweet threads, bro. I'm not talking about your social media posts, okay? You don't have cool ones. I'm telling you that your clothes, okay? But here's the thing, what is trans? That's what it says in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Wearing something that's not your gender, it would be the opposite gender. Going across the aisle. Now, you hear these two buzzwords, trans and cis, today. Who's heard cis, you know, cisgender or something like that? It's coming from, like, chemistry, where essentially they have atoms that are double bonded. And basically the atoms are on the same side as cis. If they're on the opposite side or across from another, that's trans, okay? And so when it comes to clothing here, it'd be a dude wearing girl's clothing or a girl wearing man's clothing. And both are, according to the Bible, a sin, okay? Now, go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, some people say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, first of all, I still like the Old Testament. We have a full Bible in our lap, you know, in our hand today. And number two is Jesus said that all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in one word. You know what that is? Love. It's loving to follow every single one of God's commandments. Now, obviously, there's some things in the Old Testament that are no longer applicable to us because we don't have the temple. We don't have animals to sacrifice. And a lot of things have been fulfilled by Christ. But you're going to really tell me that Christ died on the cross so everybody could dress like the opposite gender? Like, I don't understand what the point of that would be. You know, I like the distinction. You know, I like my wife to look like a woman. I'm not interested in marrying a dude, okay? Or being attracted. I'm not attracted to dudes whatsoever, okay? So the more feminine my wife looks, the more attracted I am to her. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 7, because you'd say, well, I don't think God would teach us this type of a doctrine in the New Testament. Well, look what it says in verse 7. For if a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. So the Bible says that God is a man, and men look like God. And women are in a completely different image. They're the glory of a man. Okay, so they look better than us, all right? Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, I like that verse. A lot of young single guys like that verse. They don't like to keep reading, though, okay? Now, here's the thing. Obviously, the woman is my helpmeet. I'm not the one that's subject unto her. She's subject unto me. And we live in a world today where men are subject unto women. It's very unbiblical. Verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for hair is given her for a covering. Now, if God doesn't care about our clothing and God doesn't care about our physical appearance, then why is he committing almost half of an entire New Testament chapter to hair length? Now again, you say, oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. That's because most Baptists won't preach this chapter again. Now, between these two, I'm just unloading the truck this morning, okay? So if you're offended, it's okay, all right? That's part of the sermon. But most churches today, you know how many people would be offended by teaching that women should not have short hair and that women should wear dresses and skirts? I mean, you're talking about the majority of churches today, especially the baby boomer generation, especially a lot of independent fundamental Baptist churches. I've been to plenty of them, and the older population, they don't abide by these two commandments. Therefore, they're just not preached from the Bible. But this is what I've noticed. If you don't preach it, then you just have more people do it, more people do it, and then there's more pressure not to preach it. You might as well just preach it when there's not as much pressure, so that way you don't ever just become a complete compromiser on what the Bible says. And look, obviously the society, obviously there's pressure outside, there's pressure from your business relationships, there's pressure from the people in the church. You know what? My goal is not to just get everybody to like me. My goal is just to preach the Bible. And this is a very relevant topic. I mean, you can't tell me it's not relevant in 2021 America. But look what God's saying. Because again, if you care what God thinks, these are some important verses. Look what it says again in verse number 23. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Saying, is it appropriate for a woman with short hair to even pray to God? And it's a rhetorical question. Because the answer is no. Now, wouldn't you think that would be important? I mean, if I walked up to you and said, look, all of your prayers are meaningless to God. You need to fix this area of your life before God wants to hear your prayers. Don't you think you'd want to know that? Or would you just get mad at the messenger? Would you get mad at the preacher for preaching what the Bible actually says here? Now, you say, well, I don't know about that. Keep your finger. Well, you don't have to keep your finger. We're going to be done with this passage. But go if you would to Proverbs 28. Notice he said that it's nature that teaches you this. God instilled in all of us, you know, a nature. The laws of God are written in our hearts. And it's obvious to every guy and every woman these truths. That's why all of the targeting ads that are used through seduction follow these principles. You know, whenever they're trying to get guys to buy something through an attractive lady, let me tell you what, she has long hair and a skirt or a dress on. Now, it might be a provocative dress or skirt, but it's still a dress or skirt. They don't want to see Big Mike with a short haircut and a dude suit, okay? They're not going to buy. They don't want to buy that type of a product. They don't want to buy that type of a good. You know, Ellen DeGeneres is not going to be on the front cover of some ad that you're trying to seduce men with because she's not attractive. And look, growing up, I knew this without even knowing that 1 Corinthians 11 exists in my Bible. Because there was a girl that I was interested in, like, my whole time of being in like, grade school and middle school. I was kind of like a one-girl-only guy. Okay? I was, like, only interested in this one girl. And, like, in eighth grade, she gets a dyke haircut, and it was over. Like, I've liked this girl for years. You know, it's like third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade. I mean, we're talking year after year after year after year. Just a decision like this, just done. It's that obvious. And look, you know, it's just what the Bible teaches. It's nature. God created these things on purpose. You'd have to live in a really bizarre society to not even think that way. Men are attracted to long hair. And women are attracted to short hair. Sorry, Fabio, get a haircut, all right? Proverbs 28, look at verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You know, the Bible says if God shows you something in the Bible and you know it, and you decide not to listen or not to care, God gets mad at you even praying about other things. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Just like your kids. You know, if you tell your kids to clean your room, and they're like, no. Can I have a cookie? You're like, why are you asking for a cookie? Clean your room. No, I'm not going to clean my room. Give me a cookie. And you're just like, no. I'm going to give you the rod of correction. You know, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to just get whatever you want when you're disobeying me, when you're not even listening to my instruction in the first place. You know, eat your dinner, clean your room, obey, and then ask me for a cookie. Don't ask me for things when you're refusing my instruction, refusing to obey, and God treats us the same way. God looks down from heaven and he tries to give us new rules and new commandments and new instructions. And when we just say, no, I don't like that. The preacher's mean, you know. He said it unkind or whatever. It doesn't matter. Is it what the Bible says? And if it's what the Bible says, then you need to follow God's commandments every single time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. So here's my first point. You should not wear trans threads. Don't wear something that doesn't belong to you. You know, and this preaching would be hard in, I guess, Scotland, where guys have to wear the kilt or whatever. Guess what? I'm never going to wear a kilt or a surrey, you know? I'm not going to wear any kind of a dress or a skirt. And I think a lot of people would be like, well, of course you wouldn't. Yeah, but you don't understand that 50 years ago or 100 years ago, the idea of a woman wearing pants was the same way. And I'm telling you what, American culture is trying as hard as it can to drag men into skirts and dresses. And there may be a day, there may be a time where guys want to come to our church in dresses and skirts. And they're not like a fag. I'm just saying it's the fashion. But here's the thing. I don't really have rules on clothing, like, in general. I mean, I guess if someone was coming in naked, we try to clothe them or something like that. But I feel like I'd have to implement a rule for that. Now, think about this. Am I really that harsh? I don't feel that way about women. I'm not doing that to women, necessarily. But look, if a dude started trying to come in here with a dress and a skirt and sit next to your little kid in service, would you feel okay with that? Why is it that we've gotten to a point, though, where we're so prejudiced? It's like, well, men can't do it, but women can. Look, I don't even care if it's a kilt, okay? It's a skirt, all right? It looks really queer, all right? It looks really strange. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to have to see it. And if you don't like that, then you need to realize that most of what our society does today is because of that person specifically. Dudes wearing dresses. Dudes wearing dresses. Now, there's another group of people that try to wear trans clothing in the Bible. And obviously, this is a spiritual book, okay? So I'm going to preach some carnal truths and some spiritual truths this morning. But look what it says in verse number 12. What I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So here's a group of people that are wearing trans clothing, What is it? It's the devil trying to appear like a righteous person. It's his ministers trans wearing the wrong type of clothing. Instead of going around saying, hey, I'm the devil, I'm a liar, I'm a deceiver, they try to put on a righteous garment. They try to put on something that transforms them into something that they're not, and they're pretending to be something that they're not. Isn't that the same as a dude pretending to be a woman? Isn't that the same as a woman pretending to be a dude and dressing in these type of ways? And do you really want to be confused as a dude dressing as a woman? But notice that it's the same spiritual connection, okay? What's the same spiritual connection? It's the fact that these people are not honest. They're not straightforward. They always have to try and be something that they're not. And this is what both parties do, is they try to appear righteous when they're not, okay? Isn't it interesting that the people that yell at you and say you're so hateful, what do they claim? Oh, we're so loving. Notice they don't say, we're hateful too. We're evil too. We want to hurt children. You know, we're pedophiles. What do they say? We're so kind and loving and we care about your children. No, you don't. You want to hurt them. No, you want to abuse them. No, you want to take advantage of them. No, your own children you've already abused and taken advantage of and ruined. Okay? And you know what? The devil doesn't come and knock on your door and say, hey, I'm the devil. What does he do? He says, hey, I'm Elder so-and-so from the Mormon church or whatever. Hey, I'm from, you know, Joel Osteen's church. You want to come to our church? You know, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to appear righteous. They're going to try and say that they're more loving than you, more kind, more honest, more truthful. They do more right. That's what they go around, and they have this trans outfit that they put on. They put on this cloak of, I'm so much more righteous than you, even though it's got a rainbow flag on it. That's loving. No, it's a lie is what it is. And why do people do this? It's because ultimately they just want attention. Notice what it even said in verse number 12 again, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, okay? So point number one, and I only have 2 points, trans and tempting threads, okay? Point one, you shouldn't wear that which doesn't belong to you. Should really a wicked person put on a righteous garment? That doesn't really make any sense, does it? Do you really mask who you are? You know, when we come to Jesus, if we try to mask who we are and we try to say, no, I'm righteous. You know, this is like the Pharisees, that they were willing to justify themselves, that they didn't think that they were sick. They thought they were whole. When they came to Jesus, they didn't come as they were. They didn't come in the filthy rag. They tried to present their filthy rags as somehow a righteous garment, and they're rejected. Whereas if we come hat in hand to Jesus Christ, and we're like, look, I'm wicked. I'm a sinner. I need new clothes. I need new threads. Then Jesus is more than welcome to put on that righteous garment on top of us, isn't he? Whereas those that pretend like they're righteous, he'll strip that away from them and show how naked they really are, show how wicked and evil and disgusting they really are on the inside. So it's important to be honest with who you are. And look, God created you a man to be a man. God created you a lady to be a lady. Why is that so insane to want? Why is it weird that God wants women to look like women? And he wants men to look like men. And he said, you know what? I created the man to look like me, and I created the woman to be the glory of the man. Why can't they just be different? Why can't they be separate? You know, it's coming from a demonic spirit that's trying to twist and convert people and confuse people and tell people to pretend to be something that they're not. You know what? You should embrace who you are. You should like who you are. You should be who you are, okay? And not try to pretend to be something else and always trying to push the envelope. But really, this same spiritual demonic influence has infected our culture in every kind of way. And I'm going to tell you something. Pants on women is in the same category. Now, I'm going to give you a brief tour of history, okay? Where is this coming from? In the United States, basically the first woman attributed with pants and women is Elizabeth Smith Miller in 1851, okay? 1851 is basically where this first woman is trying to introduce. She also happens to be a women's rights activist or whatever. Shocker, right? Really into women's rights. Well, she has a couple disciples that kind of follow in her footsteps. Another name, a Amelia Jenks Bloomer, okay? Now, that's where you get the term bloomers, because she literally invented them, okay? And she's also big into women's suffrage. Now, she's around the same timeline. So all these ladies kind of died in the late 1900s. They basically, somewhere in the 50s to the late early to the late 1800s, early 1900s is basically their activism, their life of really campaigning these things and pushing against, pushing the envelope. Another disciple was Mary Edwards Walker. She was also way into suffrage. I believe she was a physician. She was like a doctor, and she really tried to advocate for, she always dressed like a dude, just a suit. She was just always dressed like a man, but I guess she was a good doctor, so they just let her do whatever she wanted or something. Third lady, same timeline, Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Now, she was a big women's rights, women's suffrage. What is women's suffrage is basically just women can vote, okay? That's like the main premise of the whole thing. The women have equal rights and can vote and all this stuff. Yeah, I'm going to unload the truck. I don't believe in that either, okay? Elizabeth Cady Stanton was a transcendentalist and a Unitarian minister. This is what she's quoted as saying. The Bible need not be taken literally. God need not be envisioned as a male. We need to determine the truth for ourselves. That's interesting. The same people that are advocating for these women's rights, for abortion, for all these different, you know, civil rights matters, for women wearing pants, are the same ones telling us that God's not even a man. Rejecting the Bible, saying we should just interpret truth for ourselves and do the truth for ourselves. That's where it's coming from. Then what also contributed is World War I and World War II, where a lot of men went off to the war, and women were basically helped to get into the labor force, doing all kinds of factory jobs and doing all kinds of labor. And, you know, obviously wearing a skirt or a dress may be a little bit impractical for some of those positions, for some of those job duties or whatever. So that's why they gravitated towards that type of a garment and started wearing them only in the line of service. But at the end of the day, you know, one wrong doesn't justify another wrong, okay? Just compounding wrongs, and why are we involved in these wars anyways, and why are we letting women do all this work? And, you know, it's just nonsense, okay? But that's what basically created a factory of a lot of this clothing. Because there was no women's department where you could go down and get a man suit. Now, there was no women's department where you could get pants or whatever. But because of World War I and World War II, you ended up having a lot of these garments produced, and now it's a lot more readily available. You wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb wearing it because a lot of women could wear it. The options are out there, right? And other countries like France and other places, they're starting to add that into their culture too a little bit more. But it really started taking off in the 60s and 70s with the women's rights movement, okay, where it finally became acceptable in the home, public, and workplaces for women to wear pants. Not only that, in 2011, okay, in New York, it was still illegal to wear the dress of the opposite sex. In 2011, in New York, it was illegal for a man to dress like a woman or a woman to dress like a man. And we had a lot of other statutes that were like that. Even though women were doing it, it just wasn't being enforced, obviously. Okay. In 1848 to 1850, Columbus, Ohio led the charge, and they passed laws making it illegal to cross-dress. And more than 40 cities also had laws against cross-dressing. But as you read the articles about it, they say the cops got to a point where it was too difficult to arrest people or to basically, you know, prosecute against, because the culture was changing so much, it was hard to tell what cross-dressing was anymore, because there was just so much adaptation, so much reversal of these different standards. Now, in recent times, there's still a lot of laws in this category, okay, but they're different. And even today, though, there are still cities that their penal code has not been revoked and it is illegal to cross-dress. Let me give you two examples. Harvey, Illinois, it is illegal to conceal your sex through clothing or to dress with the other opposite gender's clothing. Also in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, it is still illegal, according to their city statutes, to cross-dress, okay? But now, we don't really have those statutes anymore. Now, what about Texas, okay? And I couldn't really find anything in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but Houston is something that I've already researched in the past, and I looked this up. But Houston also had cross-dressing statutes where it was illegal to cross-dress, okay? And that was repealed in 1980. And it was done through the work of someone named Phyllis Fry, okay? Now, Phyllis Fry is a transvestite. It's a dude that wears dresses, all right? And it's really hard to read these articles because it's like when she was born, and, you know, it's like she was never born because it's not a she. It's a dude wearing a dress, okay? Get over it. Now, Phyllis Fry is really famous because of all of its activism, okay? Let's call it it. It was one of the first, transgender or transvestites to play lesbian softball. So see, this person has a lot of firsts. Let me give you their first. Lesbian softball. Cross-dressing. Was a Democrat. The first judge in the world. The first transvestite judge in the world ever appointed. Okay? It was also fired many times. And one of the times they said that the boss told him it was fired for being a dress-wearing freak. I agree. Okay? Now, some people don't understand Houston's history. In 2010, approximately, or somewhere in that timeline, they had voted in a mayor that was a lesbian, an open lesbian, okay? And it was Annise Parker. So, of course, this lesbian mayor is the one that appointed this transvestite as a judge. So notice how, you know, they all these things kind of collide. Well, in 1980, the reason why cross-dressing was no longer illegal is because this Phyllis Fry or whatever started working for the city council and working in the mayor's office or something like that. And the mayor was out of town. So whenever the mayor's out of town, they have some person that just fills in as like a temporary mayor. And this temporary mayor was a buddy with this Phyllis Fry. So probably a fag too. And whenever they had their legislative meeting, two of the council members had stepped out to go on phone calls or doing other business. So then this person slips in this repealing of this cross-dressing statute while they're stepped out of the room. And according to their rules, if you're out of the room when they do a vote, it's a yes vote. I don't even know how this makes sense. I'm just telling you what happened. So then this person that introduced it, the two people that weren't there and didn't vote, they were all three yes votes and ended up repealing the cross-dressing ordinance in Houston. So all the ladies in Houston that want to wear pants can thank Phyllis Fry. Doesn't that just make you want to cross-dress even more? That's literally how these things are happening in this world. You know, the Lawrence versus Texas case where sodomy was repealed from the books in Texas, it was due to a technicality. It wasn't on the merits of the law at all. And why do a bunch of Supreme Court justices that are not Baptists, like Jews and Catholics or whatever, get to tell Texas what our state laws are? You know, it's a weird world that we're living in, and you say, well, why are these things happening? Because a bunch of Baptists aren't getting up and preaching the Bible. Because a bunch of Baptists aren't getting up and saying what's right and wrong. Because they're afraid of their wife when they go home saying, I'm going to wear that pantsuit. What, you want to be like Phyllis Fry? I mean, at what point do we say no? Now, let me give you the most recent legislation. From 2015 to 2021, I read an article said that there was over 100 bills passed in the United States related to trans issues. Okay? Here's the list. In 2015, there was 19 new bills, and this is all the United States, and not just one state. In 2016, 55. In 2017, 45. In 2018, 26. In 2019, another 19. In 2020, 66. In 2021, 117. Notice we're getting more and more bills. What are these bills covering? Basically about three issues, and there's probably a few more. Essentially that transvestites can't go to the wrong bathroom or locker room. So they're banned from going to the wrong locker room from their birth. Number two, that they can't participate in transvestite sports, meaning like a dude that decides he's a girl in his head can't go play girl sports. Okay, they're banning that. And then the third is that children under the age of 18 can't be on hormone blockers or whatever, or take some kind of a strange medical treatment. Let me ask you, which law was better? You can't even wear the clothing at all ever, or you just can't go in the wrong bathroom in some places? Notice the degeneracy that's happening in our nation. Notice the degeneracy that's happening in our culture. Would to God we'd go back to the point where they can't even dress that way in public. You'd be arrested for being a dress-wearing freak. And you know what? Because men won't preach on this issue and upset a few women out there, you know what? They're going to let a bunch of dress freak-wearing men take over this country too. Because they want to get first on the ladies on their side and be like, oh, no. It's okay. There is no garment that pertains to a man or woman. We just wear whatever. Right? I mean, if you argue with me and you say, Pastor Shelley, I disagree. I think you're an idiot. I think that, you know, pants are a women's garment. Okay. Then what is the garment that's the difference? Is it a hat? Is it a scarf? Is it mittens? I mean, what is it? I mean, if it's not, I mean, why does the bathroom door literally have it on the sign? I didn't make it up. It's real obvious, okay, folks? It's not like I just came up with this. And look, if you watch the Sodomite deception, you notice that the timeline of all the things I gave you kind of fits another timeline, doesn't it? It kind of fits a lot of the other events and how they circulate. Because it wasn't just a one-issue thing where the whole world was changing. No, basically everybody just got worse and worse and worse. And then in the 60s and 70s, the baby boomer generation just brought in the whole truckload of just filth, just smut, and just despise the word of God. And it's not my fault that the culture hates God's word. Because all I'd have to do is just read this verse and we'd all say, all right, amen, go home. You know? But it's because we live in such a gender-bending society, we live in a world where people don't like what I'm preaching, they freak out, and they say that I'm hateful or something like that. You know what's hateful is to take a little boy and dress him like a girl. Or to take a little girl and dress them like a boy. That's hateful. Confuse them. I mean, you're denying reality. You're denying how God created you. You're denying everything about what God did. You know, that's the whole, like, essence of Romans 1. You know, they're turning that which is against nature, and, you know, they're going against nature, and they hate the God that created them and formed them and gave them all of this stuff. I mean, it makes no sense. Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Why do people do this? You know, what's kind of the motivation? Well, point one was that we shouldn't wear trans threads. Here's the second point. You shouldn't wear tempting threads. And really, when it comes to temptation or it comes to tempting someone, what's it all about? It's all about getting attention, isn't it? It's all about getting attraction. And I'm telling you what, clothing, you know, is a main emphasis that people use to try and gather attention or to try to tempt people with their clothing. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter number 7. And, you know, it kind of hits home in a lot of chapters here in a row in Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 7 has some real specific examples of this. Look at verse number 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. So this is a young guy. He's just a simple guy. He's just going around. He's purposely looking for a woman. He goes near her house. When? In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. So he doesn't really want to be seen. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Now, why does it describe this woman as wearing an attire of a harlot? That's because she doesn't have to speak and he knows he's found what he's looking for. Because she can speak with her clothing. And you know what? She's tempting men with her clothing. And you know what? We shouldn't wear clothing that is tempting other people. You know, tempting them with our nakedness, as it were. Or tempting them with our, some kind of an appeal or whatever. We're not supposed to try and tempt the opposite gender or to try to seduce the opposite gender through our clothing. You know, I'm supposed to wear clothing that God likes me, not to see what some kind of a whore or whoremonger likes, or to try to tempt and attract other people. And in fact, you read this story, I personally believe that she's an adulteress. This is a married woman. And the reason why I believe that is because she says the Goodman's not at home. We know there's a man that's not home, okay? Some people would say that maybe it's a daughter and her dad's not home. But the reason why I lean more towards the fact that it's an adulteress is because, well, if dad's not home, what if mom's home? Is mom going to really allow that either? Mom probably wouldn't allow that either, but she's saying only the guy's not there, leading me to believe it's probably just an adulterous woman because she's saying my husband isn't home and she takes men into her bed and she hunts and seeks for the precious life, as the Bible says in other places about the adulterous woman. This is probably just an adulterous woman that's trying to attract other men. And look, when you're married, you shouldn't be attracting other men. That's wicked. When you're out in public, you know, if you want to attract someone, attract your husband home. I'm sure he's all for it. You know, not in public, not out on the in the dark night to try and attract them. And look, this is what people do. They go to the bar, and what do they wear? Provocative clothing, revealing their nakedness. Go to Exodus chapter 28. Go to Exodus chapter 28. I know I preached a long time, but this said it was like 12:30 already. I was thinking about the time change. I was like, man, this is a long sermon. I had plenty of time left. No, I'm just kidding. Exodus 28, look at verse number 40. The Bible says, and for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats. Okay? Now pay attention to the clothing articles here. Because this is going to serve us two purposes. Number one, it's going to identify clothing that men can wear. Right? It says coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. So notice none of those garments could be a woman's garment because he's telling the dudes to wear it, right? Verse 41, and thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So the Bible describes a garment that men are supposed to wear to cover their nakedness, and notice what it's described, breeches. It's kind of an older word, maybe still used in like Europe or some places like that. But we would think of breeches as being britches. You know, just kind of change that. Say someone's too big for their britches. What does that mean? It's basically they're acting tough. You know, they're wearing a garment that they can't really fulfill, and they're making demands and threats that they aren't big enough to basically back up. So what is the breeches? Shorts or pants, basically. And he's saying that God's saying, it's okay to wear shorts, but they have to go all the way to the knee because it's supposed to cover your nakedness, meaning from your loins all the way down here is your nakedness. Now, I don't get super overly literal on this. I believe the reason why it's going all the way to the knee is because then no matter what posture or whatever position you take, you're not going to be exposing any part of your body that's inappropriate, okay? So obviously, if it's like, you know, this part of my leg or whatever, it's not like, whoa, so risque. You know, if like, let's say I sit down and my shorts kind of like come up a little bit or whatever, it's not like I'm just tempting all the ladies out there, okay, with my curly leg hair right there or something. It's just saying that basically they need to go that far so that no matter what happens, they're not coming up and exposing some part of your body. And it's not like the short shorts that dudes are wearing out playing basketball or running around, and you're just like, then they sit down and you're like, whoa, you know, you're like, ah, okay. I don't want to see that. You know, no one wants to see that. No one's interested. That's why you should wear clothing that goes all the way down to the knee. Now look, in your house, you should have, as the man, you should have all rule and power authority to decide what that limit is. If you want to say all the way to the ankles, you know, I want the garment to touch the floor or whatever, you get to decide that, okay? But the Bible says it has to go at least to the knee to cover the nakedness. And you know what? This is another area where America doesn't care anymore. Now, fortunately, we're moving into the winter season, so it's a little bit better. But man, in the summer and in places where there's a beach and stuff, I mean, people are just exposing all parts of their body. Women today have, like, no shame. They just expose all parts of their body. And it's really just, you know, it's just gross. I don't know how else to word it. You know, you should feel embarrassed when you're naked. And I've noticed a lot of teenagers and young girls do kind of seem embarrassed, but they get so inundated with the culture that they end up thinking it's normal and accepted, and they start dressing this way. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, when it comes to covering your nakedness, I believe that it has to be with an outer garment too. Breeches are not underwear, okay? And So women sometimes, they get confused on this, and they'll wear what I would call an undergarment or a type of an underwear, and they say, well, it's covered. You know, just because you're wearing stockings doesn't mean you've covered your nakedness, ladies, okay? Other examples of this, yoga pants or leggings or these type of things. Now, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with a lady wearing yoga pants or leggings. But as long as there's a skirt over top of that, too. Just like there'd be nothing wrong with me wearing boxers. But I hope I have some pants over top the boxers, right? There's nothing wrong with wearing undergarments, but the undergarment is not what's covering your nakedness as far as for the public eye. You know, you need to have a different type of garment that's covering that. You know, long johns. There's nothing wrong with wearing long johns or, you know, when it's cold out or whatever. But that shouldn't be the covering when you're going out in public. And a lot of women today, they wear yoga pants and a t-shirt. And you know why they wear that? It's because they're trying to balance this. Being feminine and covering their nakedness, okay? They don't want to wear a bunch of baggy pants because that doesn't look cute. That looks like a dude. That looks like a lesbian or something. Now, when they're wearing yoga pants, they still look feminine. The problem is they're naked. It's not the fact that they're cross-dressing. It's just the fact that they're naked. That's why a lot of women would wear, you know, that's why women's pants and women's leggings and stuff are just super skinny. Because women want to look attractive. Women want to look like women. You know, if a dude's wearing skinny jeans or whatever, he looks like a queer. He looks like a faggot. Okay? If I only had leggings on, you would be horrified and run away. You'd be like, Pastor, stay behind the pulpit, if you even stayed. Okay? You wouldn't, I hope. I hope you just leave or whatever. So again, we just have to balance these things and understand why people are wearing. Look, women will wear things like crop tops. What in the world? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to say? You know, that's what this woman's wearing whenever this guy finds her in Proverbs chapter 7. She's wearing something that's revealing parts of her leg and parts of her skin and parts of her body so as to entice this man to be with her. And you know what? Women should not be on display publicly. And I'll tell you what, our world is so wicked and so evil. There's so much rape and molestation and just evil men that if you put yourself out there for advertisement, you could be asking for a lot of danger. Now, I'm not going to sit here and blame the victim, but I am saying this. Don't make it easier on them. Don't be enticing them. Don't be asking, you know, please hurt me, please harm me. You know, girls that dress like a whore and go to the bar and get drunk, they're asking for danger. You're asking for problems. You're asking for issues. Don't ever do that. Don't let your daughters do that. You know, men will let their daughters dress like whores. And I'm just thinking, like, what are you doing? Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look, when you dress, you shouldn't dress with the wrong clothing. You shouldn't dress trans clothing. And you shouldn't wear tempting clothing. Now, again, what was the point of tempting? Attraction. Attention. You're just wanting the attention. And look, I get it. Women want to be noticed. That's why they wear the revealing clothing. That's the goal. The goal isn't to get hurt or damaged or harmed or to have some loser come in and basically harass them. They just want guys to notice them. You know what? You don't want sleazebags to notice you. It's a fool's errand when you do this. And you know, a godly guy may actually pass you over because he thinks that you look like a floozy because you look like a promiscuous woman and he's not even interested in that type of woman. That's why you should dress for the type of guy that you want. You should dress for the type of guy that, you know, your dad on earth and your father in heaven would be proud of. 1 Peter chapter number 3, the Bible literally has a lot of commandments on this, and this is New Testament. I don't know if you know this. It's really close to the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 3. This adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So the Bible says women, they shouldn't be trying to get attention from what they wear. They should try to get attention through being just a meek and quiet woman and working hard. Proverbs 31 woman, she's not telling us a bunch of stuff. She's doing a lot of stuff. She's working really hard. And it's not describing her figure. It's not like, you know, she's like these many numbers and this many numbers. I'm not even getting into that. But it's just like, it's not describing her figure. It's not describing how she looks. It's not saying like, oh man, she's a 10, you know. We don't even know what she looks like. And in fact, it ends the passage by saying beauty is vain. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised, how the Bible ends. She might have been ugly. Ooh. I mean, would to God women would realize Proverbs 31 is not describing what makeup she put on. It's not describing how she did her hair. It's not describing any of that. It's describing the fact that she's a godly woman, that she works hard, that she loves her family, that she does that which is right. Now look, there's nothing wrong with dressing nice. Okay, the Bible's not saying don't do these things, because notice one of them says putting on of apparel. Obviously, you got to put on clothes, okay? But at some point, there's always balance. Let's go to another verse here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go to the left in your Bible. The Bible says, as a jewel of gold and a swine stout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Meaning, you know, the most gorgeously appareled woman, a woman in the best clothes and the best hair. I mean, she just looks great on the outward appearance, but she has no discretion. She's just a really annoying person. You don't even want to be around her. You know, you can't put enough lipstick on that pig, as it were. And at the end of the day, you know, you and I both know as men that when you run into a woman that you thought was attractive at first and then she opens her mouth and it's like, whoa, not anymore. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now, I didn't write 1 Timothy chapter 2. And you know what? I just figure, let's just go to every controversial passage this morning, okay? So then I can get them all over with. But look, the Bible literally teaches that men and women should dress with modest apparel, okay? Meaning, hey, your clothes, they should be nice in the sense that they should be well kept. They should be clean. You know, I believe that you should wear clothing that's respectable. But, you know, I'm not going to get up here in a million-dollar suit. I'm not going to get up with a big Flava Flav, you know, clock. I'm not going to get a bunch of crosses and hang them around my neck. You know, I'm not wearing some garment that you can only find at CatholicStore.com or something. Where do they get these weird dress things that they wear? Who makes those garments? I don't even know where you buy them, right? I mean, I'm not up here in any garment that most men in this room aren't wearing. I mean, if we just stood in a line and you brought in 10 strangers, they wouldn't just be able to pick the pastor out by clothing, would they? No, they would think, they would look at all these men that are wearing suits and dressed nice, and they would think that any of them could be the pastor because it's not something that's just over the top or something really special or whatever. And the same should be with my wife. You know, if we lined up all the ladies, it wouldn't be like, oh, that's the pastor's wife, you know. That's the one that's just shining real bright and wearing all this fancy garb or whatever. You know, that's not how we should dress. We shouldn't dress to tempt people and getting attention and trying to have everybody look at us. Look, this is what the Pharisees were like. Jesus literally warned about the scribes going in long clothing. Why are they going in long clothing? Because they want attention. Look at me. You know, we have in James 2 a story about someone coming in with gay clothing and people have respect on him. Why? Because of his clothing. Meaning someone that wants to show off how fancy and rich they are because they know people will treat them better because of their garments. And look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with dressing nice. I believe that you should dress as nice as possible. But at the same time, this is my view on dressing. To dress where it's going to distract people the least. And I personally believe wearing a suit with just a normal tie is about the least distracting garment I could wear. If I get up here in a graphic tee with cool jeans or something, that would be more distracting than it would being wearing a suit. If I wear a bright red suit or something, you know, with jingle bells on it or something, or if I'm wearing some sleek garment or something. Like, of all the garments I could possibly wear, right, a Canadian tuxedo, you know, I mean, I think this is probably the least distracting I could possibly wear. Something that's just a normal, classic cut, just a normal tie or whatever, just wear normal clothes. And look, that's what we should do. I'm not up here saying that I dress terrible, though, or dressing bad on purpose. You know, we're not Amish. Some people hear this sermon and they think like, oh, we have to be Little House on the Prairie. No. I don't see anybody in here that looks like Little House on the Prairie. You know, I think that women should be fashionable and look normal. And look, most women in America, whether they agree with this preaching or not, own dresses. Own dresses and skirts. They never heard this sermon. They don't agree with this sermon. They hate this sermon. They hate me. They hate stuff. But they'll still wear a dress and a skirt. It's still normal to go wear dresses and skirts. It's still normal to dress like a woman in today's culture. And I wish I could press a button and flip a switch so that the women wouldn't have to be pressured in this way. You know who the devil tempted first in the Garden of Eden? Eve. He went after Eve first because she's the weaker vessel, because it's easier to trick her. It's easier to convince her that she's doing something wrong. Look, it's harder to convince a dude to wear a dress than it is for a lady to dress in a man's garment, okay? It's just easier. And I'm not saying that what I'm preaching is easy or comfortable. And if, you know, if your wife's upset about this message, this is my advice. If, you know, whenever I and my wife crossed this bridge, I didn't put a lot of pressure on her. I didn't say, like, you're just the most wicked person I've ever seen in my entire life, and, you know, I hate you or anything like that. I just said, look, I just want you to believe the same as me, and if you don't, I'm not going to force you to do anything. And I just let her decide. Because at the end of the day, it was more important to me that she believed like me than me to just force her to just do whatever she wanted. And then I say this, and as soon as you're ready, we're going to go buy a bunch of dresses and skirts. You know what I mean? Like, I know my wife's heart. The idea of shopping is really enticing, okay? She really likes it. And, you know, you should be kind to your spouse. You should try to, you know, lead them in a gentle way, in a soft way, not be overbearing. And, you know, I'm sure you got issues. You know, don't be like 50 pounds overweight and then be like really hard on your wife and how she dresses and how she looks and how she acts or whatever. And you're smoking when no one's looking, and you're doing all kinds of wicked stuff that you shouldn't be doing, but your wife has to be perfect, right? You know, honestly, I believe that you should try to have a higher bar for yourself than even your spouse. Why don't you go ahead and exceed in all the areas that you're supposed to be succeeding in before you start forcing your wife to do things that are wrong? But at the end of the day, you know what? If a man tells his family what to do, amen, because that's what the Bible says. I'm just saying sometimes it's better when you live in America, you have to live with the person, to not just like rake them over the coals or beat them over the head with these things or be rude or mean to them or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I'm going to do that which is right. Go if you would to Psalms 39. This is the last place I'm going to have you turn. Psalm 39. Some people get mad at the sermon. They would say, why do you care about our clothing? Because the Bible teaches it. That's it. You know, if the Bible didn't bring up these subjects, I probably wouldn't bring them up because I just don't, you know, there's no point in me just pissing people off to piss people off. But if the Bible's going to piss you off, then welcome to the club. You know, the goal here is to hear what the Bible has to say. And we need this preaching more than less. I wish every church would preach this so then people didn't have another option. It wasn't like, well, I want to go to the nice church. Well, they'll never tell me this. Every church should tell you this. So then that way, I don't have to be the outcast of, you know, oh, man, that guy, I don't like this doctrine. Here's another thing. You can disagree with me on doctrines and still come to this church. There's plenty of people that do. There's plenty of people, you teach them good doctrines of not mixing woolen and linen, and they literally put beans in their chili. He said, there's nothing wrong with beans. There's nothing wrong with chili. Don't mix them, right? And you know, people disagree. They do whatever they want. You know, I'm not going to come and nag you and harass you and follow you around and put wave signs in your face or whatever. That's a different group that does that. Psalm 39, look at verse 6. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. You know, at the end of the day, if you're violating these rules, it's for vanity's sake anyways. You know, I get dressed because I have to. What? Quit trying to wear the wrong garment on purpose. You know, quit trying to just provoke people and try to get all this attention out of it or whatever. You know, we should dress to please God. We should dress to please our spouse. We should dress to please other people, you should be the last on the totem pole there. You know, I want the church to, you know, find my garment respectable. I want my wife to like what I'm wearing. I want God to be pleased with what I'm wearing. And at the end of the day, you know, when you stand before God in heaven, it's going to matter what you're wearing. Are you wearing his robe of righteousness? Or are you wearing the filthy rags? But here's my philosophy. When you decide to get dressed, this is what you should think. What is the best version of myself I can be today? What's the best way that I can dress myself? What's the most honoring to God? And in every area of our life, even if it's really small, just your hair, what's the best version of yourself? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us all these commandments so that we could know there's a difference between men and women. I pray that you would just help people's hearts this morning that, you know, if something was it rubbed them the wrong way, that they'd realize that all of your commandments are actually coming from a place of love and that you just want people to behave themselves the way you intended, the way they were created. And I pray that people would realize that it's a spiritual attack that's coming from the enemy today that wants to confuse us, that wants to lie to us, that wants us to be something that we're not. I pray that men would embrace being a man today and that women would embrace being women today and that we wouldn't let the wicked and the evil tell us how to dress, how to think, how to behave ourselves, but rather we would let the Bible be the light into our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, for our final song, we'll go to song 389, Bring Them In. 389, Bring Them In. 389, Bring Them In. You are dismissed.